Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Thanks again to Amazing.com for sponsoring today's episode. Amazing.com offers proven online courses that can help just about anyone start their own business, from selling products on Amazon to launching the next hot mobile app. They've already helped more than 20,000 people get started. Learn how at Amazing.com or call 888-373-9363.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. It's very, very cool of you to join me again. I feel like we're really kind of, you know, getting to know each other. It's good. It feels good. All right. I'm your host, John Naster. But you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an entrepreneur and businesswoman, speaker, business advisor, and the author of the Amazon bestseller, Exit, 12 Steps to Sell Your Business for the Price You Deserve. My guest is founder and CEO of The Well. Through her company, my guest helps entrepreneurs who want to grow and eventually sell their business for $1 million or more. She has 25 years experience in the business world and has worked with hundreds of business owners over the last 10 years. Now, let's hack. Julie Gordon White. Why do you listen to Hack the Entrepreneur? Because you're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally. Now you are looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and other tasty things. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner today. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have another very, very special guest. Julie, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Super great to be here.
Oh, I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
For sure.
Yeah, let's do this. Julie, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Such a great question. You know, if I really think about it, I would have to say my one thing is that I just accept the invitation. Do you know what I mean by that?
You could clarify for us.
I will. You know how you get those sparks and, you know, you might be outdoors in nature or sitting at your desk, those moments when you get that idea. I have learned over the years to accept that spark, accept that invitation, and go forward. If it feels right, then just keep, you know, taking a step and a step and a step. And most often, if the feeling was good, now that's the caveat there. If the feeling is good, because sometimes you get off track because you start going down a path and all of a sudden it doesn't feel right and you just keep going, that's not usually a good decision. But if the feeling is really good with each one of those invitations, those sparks that I get, that almost always leads me to something really, really wonderful. So that's what I would say. I accept the invitation.
Nice. Where is this feeling you get?
Usually comes, well, one, the idea, the spark, the invitation often comes in one of two places. Well, I should say three. One, regularly in the shower, something about water on your head, you know, just happens, right? I'm not the only one there. Also nature, of course, being outdoors in the calm and nature absolutely creates that spark and that invitation. You know, another place it comes is on vacation. You know, I really encourage people that I talk to take that time to replenish, because when you replenish, you can recharge, and all those creative juices happen when you're, when you take a break, you know, when you unplug. And so that's when I also get the invitation, new invitations, new sparks a lot, is when I'm replenishing on vacation.
And do you stop your vacation like halfway through and like, I got to get back to work. I got to follow and accept this invitation. Because I find, no, really?
No. See,
that's the thing. It's, we're on those vacations, and I, it's true. We oftentimes, and I think people can call entrepreneurs like workaholics or something, because it's like, well, you were in the middle of a vacation. All of a sudden you got this idea and you started a whole new website and product around this idea and you ran with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've learned over the years to keep my ideas in alignment with the previous thing. So I've kind of trained myself. You know, I think in the past I would, you know, create new things all the time. But what I found was all that energy that you spend creating something new could have been better used enhancing what you've already created. So now my invitations and my sparks are usually very much in alignment with what I'm already doing. And if they aren't, that's not the right thing. The good feeling doesn't come. So I don't say yes. I don't step in. So getting back to the vacation piece, I love vacation. I mean, that's one of my favorite indulgences in life. And so, no, I never stop the vacation. I stay in it. I just sink into it. I sink into that feeling and really get clear about it. And you can only do that, you know, when you're away from the day to day. So I would never leave a vacation early, John. I think, how can I extend this for 2 more weeks, you know, so I can really go deep in this thing.
And you don't work on vacation?
Sometimes. Depends.
There we go.
In my old life and mergers and acquisitions, when I had my own firm, you know, if I was in the middle of a deal, all hands on deck, I don't care where you are. You know, I closed a $5 million deal on vacation in the Bahamas, but that was a good vacation, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it depends. Sometimes, and I've also been on vacation, you know, in the Caribbean where I was completely unplugged for 2 weeks. I believe in that too. That, I think that's something that entrepreneurs should strive for, to be able to completely unplug from your business. So, you know, you can absolutely get that break, but sometimes it's not possible. So you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Did you say M&A?
Yeah.
Did you call it something?
Uh-huh. Mergers and acquisitions,
yeah,
M&A.
Okay.
Yeah. So I founded an M&A firm in 2004.
Wow.
And love that, ran it, grew it, started off selling really teeny little businesses because that's where my confidence level was at the time. After working for a firm for a short amount of time, I've always been entrepreneurial my whole life. I was that kid selling stuff door to door, babysitting, you know, teaching swimming lessons in my backyard. I just like making my own money. So after a corporate career, I worked for a family business, then a boutique, or actually a large business brokerage firm. And then decided I wanted to go out on my own. So I started selling small businesses. I was the queen of flower shops for a couple of years here in the San Francisco Bay Area selling florists. And then my deal size just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger over time. So selling multi-million dollar businesses and a big team. So it was really fun. I loved it. Had a big team of my own. Then the recession came.
It always comes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah. So you started, you were like the kid entrepreneur that we all know about. And then you did go to work though in corporate for a while, and then family business, and then out. Is that the...
That's the story. I was a director of sales and marketing for Sheraton Hotels. Loved it. Loved. Love hospitality. It's so fun being in San Francisco, taking clients all over the world. So I was on property and then national sales. So traveled a lot. And then it didn't fit very well for growing a family, all that travel. Mm-hmm. So I took a step out and worked in a family business, which, ready for this, John, it was a funeral home.
Wow.
There's an invitation for you, huh?
How from hospitality to...
Well, it's still hospitality,
it is,
though, if you think
true.
About it, right? You're taking care of people. So that was an interesting invitation. And my initial answer was no, thank you. But they said I could bring my baby at that time, my second child. So I said, okay, I'll try it. And that's when I really was able to learn how to run a bigger business on my own. So that was really fun. And that's how I ended up, I decided I was going to buy a business. That didn't work out, but I learned the process. And that's how I got interested in selling companies.
Wow. That's awesome.
And quite a journey.
Yeah. No, that's great. All right. We're going to move into work.
Okay.
So accepting the invitation is your one thing. Now, every blog post, every expert talks about the 80-20 rule. Mm-hmm. Do 20%, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest. Mm-hmm. Julie, could you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
I'm not good at prospecting. Just the cold invitation, if you will, me extending invitations on a cold level. That is just not fun for me. I'm a relator. I love relationships. I love people. If it's teed up, it's a home run. I love baseball too, John, so you might get some baseball metaphors out of me. So, but that initial cold reaching out, I don't like that. It's just not my thing. Because I like relationships and people. So I like to go deep really quickly. So I create systems and have other people to help me do some of those things.
Nice.
I'm not good at that. Yep.
Do you think you realized that you're not good at prospecting, would you say too late, or did you realize it early off in your entrepreneurial journey?
I think I've known it all along. And what I've done, on the negative side was create like probably 50 extra steps to avoid it. So instead of hiring somebody to help me or creating some automated systems or something, you know, I would do other things to position myself as an expert or be that person so people would automatically be attracted to what I do versus just going out and telling people what I do. So I learned that early and I created practices, behaviors to try to compensate for it. It still wasn't that pretty though. It took me a lot longer to grow my first business than it should have, put it that way.
Yeah, it typically does, right? And I often find that people realize this one thing about them too late, and or like we avoid it, right? We try and just, and we make up and compensate for it in different ways.
Yeah.
Rather than just delegate it off to somebody who's actually really good at it. And that tends to grow our business.
Exactly.
All right. So today is a work day. So could you woke up today with, I'm sure, a list, if you have lists or however you do it, to manage what it is you have to accomplish today, being the Tuesday of a full week, what you have to accomplish this week, this month, this quarter, perhaps, and this year. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me what the first 30 minutes of today looked like for you?
Am I at my desk, right? Not before I got to my desk.
Unless there's rituals before you get to your desk that set you up to kind of do what you need to get done.
Yeah. Just a little early, easy yoga, I would say, just to get calm and centered. I have three teenaged and a little bit older children in our household. So there's a little chaos going on in the morning.
So just a little.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, a lot of independence and dependence all at the same time. So a little yoga is a great way to help me get centered, actually kind of in my office area once everybody's up and out of the house. So I work from home some 3 days a week and I work in actual office 2 days a week. I like the combination of that. So I use a practice of something I've created called a weekly profitability planner. So I plan out my whole entire week on Monday, focused on the three most profitable projects I'm working on, and then the three daily profit tasks I must get done. Because as you know, you talked about the 80-20 rule. As an entrepreneur, there's so many things that can distract you. So I always check in with my profitability planner every single Monday. So I know exactly because, I mean, yes, I create it on Monday and then every day like today, Tuesday, I go to it and make sure I'm very clear and remember what I wrote yesterday that I had to get done. So those three things are always the non-negotiables for the day because it's so easy to get distracted. One, it's just, you know, as an entrepreneur, we create stuff, we're creators, we're, you know, shiny object syndrome. And then things happen during the day that can get you off track. So having that planner really keeps me focused every day. So I go to that. See the three tasks I have to do today, and then how my day is broken down, whether it's an appointment or an interview or whatever else I need to do that's already scheduled. So that's how I handle my morning.
I love it. How long does it take you, Earl? How long do you give yourself to set out your week ahead on Monday?
I don't give myself I'd rather have something that's, you know, a well thought out week than a time frame. Nice. But it's been something I've been doing for a long time, and I teach my clients to do it. So it probably takes me about 15, 20 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like how it's based on a weekly profitability calendar.
Yeah.
Or planner.
Yeah.
I like that. Like it's not based on just actions, just need to be movement.
No.
It's profitability.
Right. I mean, because as you know, you can get so distracted by things that you feel busy but you're busy, not necessarily productive. And even if you're productive, you still may not be focusing on the things that drive revenue and profitability in your business, which goes back to my M&A practice. You know, it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. And businesses are valued on profitability. So you need to do those things that not only generate revenue in your business, but also focus on profitability. So those, it all kind of gets wrapped up in that planner.
Yeah, excellent. And then within a weekly sort of schedule, how does, because you also mentioned shiny object syndrome.
Yeah.
But then at the beginning, you mentioned how you accept the invitation for ideas. So this, to me, I struggle with this because I struggle with this just trying to understand how you deal with this, because the being open to the invitation and then shiny object syndrome that we all go through as entrepreneurs, and then planning out your week, how do you determine when a project, especially like a bigger sort of project, is now something that you, that is worth your time, your energy, and your resources?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll answer this kind of in reverse. Friday is my shiny object day. It's the day I give myself permission to just blow with the wind if I want to. You know, I do some follow-up in the beginning of the day, check in with my assistant, some admin things, but I let it flow on Friday. It's just a fun day. I try to take Fridays off when I can. So that's the day I call it going down the rabbit hole. So there you go. Got to have, you know, I create space for all that. And then in terms of, you know, knowing, especially around big projects, what I should do and what I shouldn't do, I'm very clear about, you know, where I'm going with my company. So if it is an alignment directly with what I'm trying to achieve, it's a no. That's something I've learned over the years. It's taken a lot of practice and discipline. Thank you for the invitation, but I'm going to have to pass at this time. Because you can't do everything. You just can't. And you have to be really strategic. And if it's in alignment with what your goals are, then it's obvious that it's a good choice. And then it's a matter of figuring out how to prioritize it with what you're already doing. But if it isn't in alignment and it's just exciting in the moment, then it's just okay to say no, thank you, not now. So that way you don't have to feel like you cut yourself completely off from the opportunity, but it's not going to work for you right now. That's how I've managed it.
I like it. And I've never heard of this, giving yourself the freedom on Friday to follow the shiny objects and just kind of get it out of your system.
Isn't that a fun idea?
That's awesome. I love it.
You know how some, you know, you're online and you're reading a blog and then there's all these other suggested, if you like this, you might like that. And to have that gift of freedom to actually click on that thing and just follow the, you know, follow down the rabbit hole and see what you get. It's funny because a lot of the invitations come from that. You know, again, it's that creative space where you're allowing yourself to be open to a new invitation.
Yeah. And to full honesty, lots of my Fridays end up like that, but inadvertently and with like guilt afterwards or during it. Like, what am I doing? I've just spent 2 hours like totally just clicking on things and reading stuff.
Yeah, guilt, it's just not worth it. Just give yourself permission up front, own it, and have fun, you know? Enjoy it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. I can't wait till Friday now.
Me too.
So there's this idea of the accepting the invitation and then knowing and being very clear about what it is you want. And so you follow this idea, you know very clearly what your business needs, and you push with all your energy, time, and resources in a certain direction for a new project or some new venture within your existing business that fits perfectly. Yet, say at 1 month or 3 months or 6 months of pushing, you realize that it's just not going to work. This is what Seth Godin obviously calls the dip sometimes, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. sometimes you have to push through these things and keep going. I'm trying to understand how you deal with this. So there's the dip where you're pushing through, but then there's also a time where it's like, wow, maybe I was just wrong. Seems to align with my business and what it needs, but no, this isn't going to work, no matter how much time, energy, resources we put into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the pivot. So I believe that good feeling that you had when the invitation came set you on the path, but you might just need to pivot a little bit. Doesn't mean that what you're doing is completely terrible. It just means that maybe the way you're approaching it isn't, you're not going at it at the right angle. might have to change your strategy a little bit. So then you got to take a step back because you can't solve the problem at the same level that it's happening and you, that you created it, basically. Take that step back, give yourself some thinking space, and then see, you know, what shows up, where might the next opportunity around this same thing. I think entrepreneurs lose a lot of time because they're always starting over. And so, yes, there are going to be dips in your business. That's just life. But you've got to not just throw the whole thing out, back up, pull yourself away and see where the opportunity is, where you should just pivot a little bit and then go try that, go test that. And I think for me, that's been a better approach. I think in the old days, I used to just like, oh, that's not working. Forget it. I'm going to start something new. And then, you know, you start creating too many things and then nothing works because you haven't gone deep enough with it yet. Got to get over that hump. So if it's obviously not going to work the way you started, then I try to give space, pull back, see the problem from a different angle, and then find the pivot. That's how I manage that kind of process.
That's awesome. And so as entrepreneurs, right, as human beings, one of our greatest struggles, though, is the fear of being wrong, making mistakes, and failing. So if you push yourself, your business, your team into a direction that you say is the right direction to do, you do that with a pivot rather than complete dead stop and start something new. Is that how you sort of deal with maybe this original direction wasn't the right direction to take? Because some of us, we take it really personally. Like it's somehow this error in the way we first pushed is somehow correlated back to me personally as the leader of this company. And it's me being wrong. And I feel that if maybe I'm wrong too many times, my team's going to stop trusting me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So is this how you deal with it? You deal with it as a pivot and just like, come on, team, this is the way we go now. This is how our business works, is we just kind of keep pushing in directions and letting it lead us where the market or wherever the business takes us.
Well, I have to be honest. I wasn't very good at being wrong for a long, long time. You know, I built my whole business telling other people how to sell their companies, how to grow their companies, you know, being the expert. So I don't want to be wrong. I didn't like that. So, but I realized that that's a very stubborn approach to things. And of course, other people have amazing ideas. So I just learned over time through, you know, sometimes you have to learn a more difficult lesson than others, that it's better just to embrace the uncomfortable feeling of not being right. And it's actually liberating not to have to be right all the time. It's exhausting to carry the responsibility of always being right. So it's okay to be wrong, not to run from the discomfort, you know, when you discover, oops, I think that was totally wrong. I really blew it on that. Bring in other people's ideas, be open to other people's ideas, step into that crummy feeling, you know, that discomfort of yikes, that I blew it on that. Just own it. And, you know, as I've matured, how's that for a nice word, as an entrepreneur, the higher level is even, you know, when you're wrong, feeling out where's the gift in this thing? You know, where's the goodness in this error, in this mistake, call it what it is. Where is the gift in this mistake? And then use it to share with other people. So then it becomes really powerful because you owned your mistake, you stepped in, you just felt the feeling, moved through it, pivot, got other people's feedback, adjusted, and then you actually share it. You're willing to be vulnerable enough to share it. Then it's awesome. Then it's totally awesome. So, but it took me a long time to get there because I'm just naturally right. Right, John?
Yeah, and we all are. And sometimes though we need to always be right. And not always, but I say that with like a quote around it that you can't see. But it's meaning that we do need to have a certain amount of stubbornness to our ideas, because ideas and building businesses is not easy. And sometimes we have to push through stuff that looks on the surface that we're wrong, but really we're not. We just haven't pushed hard enough or long enough into a direction yet, right?
Absolutely. And that a direction that nobody else sees but you believe. So you just got to go. I very true. You have to have that confidence to keep going when other people might not get it at all. But you also have to know when to say when, I guess.
And that's like the hardest part. If you could figure out how to like scientifically be able to
teach somebody how to do that every single time, you'd be a billionaire.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I would say I'm fairly stubborn and I kind of like it. I just own it because that's a strength. I just have to watch that I don't overuse it. Then it turns into a big old weakness. But, you know, being stubborn and seeing something that I believe in and just going for it, I kind of like it.
Yeah. And even if it does become a weakness, like you can still own it. Own your weaknesses. Own your strengths. Become fully who they are, because that's, I don't know, it's your business, right? And it's only going to, I think the more pronounced we are as personalities, the more pronounced and just better our businesses can stand out in marketplaces, wherever that happens to be. I honestly think
that. Agreed. It's like the purple cow, right?
Yeah, there we go. To go back to Seth Godin.
Yeah.
Because
he's awesome.
Exactly. All right, Julie, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on something I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap.
Okay.
So the idea that we are, as entrepreneurs, we're dreamers. We're always pushing forward and setting goals or setting our weekly profitability planners, right? And then it's a week, it's a month, it's 3 months, it's 6 months, it's a year, it's 3 years, it's 5 years, it's 10 years. Always will be so successful when we get there in 1 month, 3 months, a year. And it never seems to be today. It's always when my business does this or when I accomplish this, I will be successful. And we're always, always pushing forward to new, bigger, loftier goals. Something we absolutely have to do as entrepreneurs. I agree. Yet, sometimes we fail to stop and turn around and look at exactly what it is we've come through, what we've struggled through over, around, and what it is we've learned and what it is we've accomplished, and sort of kind of take it all in. So I would love you, Julie, right now to stop, turn around from starting businesses and being that little entrepreneur kid all the way through family businesses, through corporate, and up to where you are now. Could you stop and kind of just tell me how you feel about where you are right now and where it is you've come from?
I'm so appreciative, grateful, excited. I'm not good with one word. I am really, really happy, I would say, from starting small, growing big, getting whacked by the recession, having to reinvent who I am and the kind of entrepreneur I am, and growing again, raising a family in the middle of it. I've learned to just be really appreciative and grateful for every step of the journey. Every step of the journey, because it's a gift to be able to even go on a journey. Some people don't have the privilege to be able to venture off and follow a dream. So I am grateful for every bump, bruise, cherry, you know, bubblegum goodie that has come along the way. Every single one.
Awesome. You got to love the highs. You got to love the lows.
You can't appreciate the highs if you don't have some lows in there too. So
exactly.
You just want to minimize those.
As much as we can. Some of it's out of our control, but that's awesome. I love it. And you should be really, really proud.
Thank you.
So, Julie, we've got to speak about your business in passing. Could you specifically tell the listener where to go find out more about you and your business?
Oh, sure. Well, actually, John, every Wednesday, I do a free 21-day business plan workshop over video call. It's at noon Pacific, and it's just a great way to take a big document and break it down into small pieces that you can focus on your business and your goals and objective strategies and action steps 21 days at a time. It's really, really fun, powerful, and we actually work on the businesses of people who show up on the call. So people can register anytime at 21-day BP, like business plan, 21daybp.com.
21daybp.com.
And if they want to reach out to me directly, I love email. I love talking. You know, I work with women entrepreneurs, but I love really great men too. Got a lot of those in my world. So anytime at julie@growatthewell.com.
julie@growatthewell.com.
That's right.
That's your email.
That's my email.
Feel free to hit Julie up with any questions you may have or just to tell her you heard her on the show. And then 21daybp.com every Wednesday, noon Pacific. I will link to both of those in the show notes, so they're very, very easy for you to find.
Awesome.
And definitely take Julie up on that offer. So Julie, thank you so much again for joining me. And please just keep doing what you're doing, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you, John. And you too. Great questions. It's been my pleasure to be on the show. So thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care.
Julie, thank you so much for that great conversation. I really, really, truly enjoyed it. And yeah, just thanks for joining me. That was a lot of fun. So you're out there listening and I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. Julie, I love the view of business from the idea of building it to sell and kind of, not that that's necessarily has to be your end goal, but if you have that, you have to set your business up so differently, really, to sell it. Lots of people, we build businesses without the idea of that. And then it's like, I wonder if I could ever sell this, but it's just kind of a mess. Doesn't have the systems and processes in place that somebody else could kind of step in and take over for you. And especially as the whole like solo entrepreneur thing that lots of us do, like myself, it just, lots of times it's just a mess. If I was removed from it, there wouldn't really be much here. Because, yeah, you know, maybe that's just me being too cocky. Anyways, thank you so much, Julie. It was a lot of fun. And so we go back through this conversation and there was a lot of really, really, really interesting things, a lot of things that really piqued my interest and really made me think about my business and about Julie and her business. But there was one thing. There was one thing that Julie said that I just can't get out of my head. That one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
That's the pivot. So I believe that good feeling that you had when the invitation came set you on the path, but you might just need to pivot a little bit. Doesn't mean that what you're doing is completely terrible. It just means that maybe the way you're approaching it isn't, you're not going at it at the right angle. You might have to change your strategy a little bit. So then you got to take a step back because you can't solve the problem at the same level that it's happening and that you created it, basically. Take that step back, give yourself some thinking space, and then see, you know, what shows up. Where might the next opportunity around this same thing?
And that's the hack. Yes, yes, yes. Julie, this is brilliant. I love this because Julie goes on to say how lots of times as entrepreneurs, dreamers, people, we kind of will try something, we go in a direction and then it doesn't quite work out as we want and we just stop it. And then we try something completely polar opposite and we never really get anywhere. So I wrote an article, maybe it was an email, for my email list, which you should be on. And, you know, hacktheentrepreneur.com, you can get right on there. But I might have been for Entrepreneur. I can't remember. But it's the concept of not having a map, but having a compass, which means that we don't know where we're going to be. If you would have told me 2 years ago that I would be building a business around a podcast, that I'd be going approaching like episode 150, if I was even interviewing people, I literally had not interviewed anybody until last July. I just jumped in and started doing it because of the process of selling software, ending up in the Philippines, talking to some smart people. And then you kind of keep bouncing off these ideas. So you have a compass. I know the general direction I want to go. I want to build a cool business that was based around me, my ideas, and working on cool projects with other cool people that allowed me freedom and time to travel and have fun and hang out with my family and play drums and just do cool stuff. And so I didn't know that this is exactly where I would end up, but everything sort of bounced me off and I just kind of, and I love how she says, like, you get that spark and that idea. And so it's the right direction for you right now. But when a month comes up or 3 months or 6 months, something comes and it's not quite working, don't just stop. Pull back for a bit. Really just kind of analyze your situation and what you've learned, what you have accomplished right till then, and then pivot, but in something similar and kind of keep moving in a forward direction. It doesn't have to be linear and in a perfectly straight line, but move in that direction and keep going forward and go right or left or something if you have to. Because if you're walking into a forest, the map's not going to help you. A compass will, because you can kind of know you need to go northwest. And this is so smart. And I love that Julie brought this up. And thank you, thank you, thank you, Julie, because this is such a key element that I wasn't aware of until now that I'm in it. Looking back is easy. Looking forward sometimes is really hard. But looking back, I can see that that's how it's happened for me. And that's how I'm going to continue to make it happen. So thank you so much, Julie. All right. And thank you so much for listening. As always, I appreciate it so, so, so much. And we've got this far together. We've had so much fun together. Now, if you could please take out your phone, or if you're on your computer, I don't know where you are, but I would love a rating and review. I really, really, really need some more. It just helps so damn much. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes if you're on one of those iDevices. If you're on any other device, one of those Google devices, then hacktheentrepreneur.com/Stitcher. Or if you go to stitcher.com, you can check out my show there. Maybe that's where you're listening to it. And leave me a rating and review. It would help so much. I literally have, I think, a 2 or 3 or something over at Stitcher. I don't know why you people, there's like half of you are on Android devices, yet you refuse to give me ratings and reviews. I still love you, but I would love you even more if you gave me ratings and reviews, or a rating or a review, or a subscribe. I don't know, whatever you Android people do. That'd be awesome. I would love it. But you people on those iDevices, I got like 250 reviews already, and it's amazing. I love reading every single one of them. As always, if you could put your Twitter name in, if you're on Twitter, you should be on Twitter. Twitter's amazing. At your name somewhere in the review, I can come on Twitter and thank you. I would love to be able to do that. iTunes doesn't let me do that. But enough about me, enough about my show, enough about my ratings and reviews. You're awesome. Thank you. I'll talk to you next time. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.